Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Welcome back to Growth Marketing Today. I am so excited for this episode. I have Talia Wolf. She's a conversion optimization expert who pioneered the emotional targeting methodology. Now, with this method, Talia has been able to increase her clients' conversion rates by 10 times or even 20 times over and over again. How many of you want that? How many of you want to 10x your conversion rate? Talia has also been voted as one of the most influential voices in conversion optimization and has been invited to teach and coach conversion optimization at Google, Unbounce, MozCon, Conversion XL Live, and many more. So she knows what she's talking about. And I learned so much just talking to Talia in this episode. In this episode, you'll learn three things and more. First, what emotions come into play when it comes to converting more of your customers on your website. Second, Talia's process for uncovering the deeper emotion that causes customers to buy a product. And third, actionable advice for you entrepreneurs and marketers out there who are trying to optimize your conversion rates. Now, if you want the high-level outline and show notes and even tweetable quotes from Talia, go to growthmarketing.today/035, or you can go to the description of this podcast, wherever you're getting it, and just click on the link in that description. Anyways, I don't want to hold you back anymore. Let's get right to it. Hey, everyone. I have here Talia all the way from Israel. I'm so excited for her to talk about conversion rate optimization. How's it going, Talia? How are things with you today?
They're great. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited about this.
Well, I'm super excited because I've heard a lot of things from you. I was watching some of your videos, your blogs. You've spoken everywhere. I'm just honored to have you on the podcast. Maybe before we get started, I love asking this question because I always hear when I was a kid, I used to think career path is linear. Like you go from worker to manager to CEO. I'm curious what your career journey is because everybody's career is a little different and it takes dips and turns and curves. So maybe we can start there. How did you get to where you're at right now?
So I started out in a social media agency. I was running ads, doing creative work, running Facebook pages, YouTube stuff for different clients. And it was funny. It was at the era when everyone really, really cared about likes and how many people they had in their Facebook group or Facebook page, to be more exact. I just had this thing about trying to measure my work. I really wanted to figure out okay, great. I'm getting you all these likes, but are you seeing any business from this? Mm. And people never knew to say yes, no, what was going on. And when I started getting into Google Analytics, I figured out, hey, there's a problem here. So I just started fixing things and kind of changing things on landing pages and ads and stuff, just randomly, just guessing. And as I read on, and I think it was 6 months into this, I figured out, oh, wait, there's this whole field. It's called conversion optimization. And it was almost 10 years ago now, and I realized I was actually doing conversion optimization. I just didn't know. I didn't have a process or anything. And that's basically when I quit and I opened an agency with two partners, and we ran a conversion optimization agency for 5 years together. It was super amazing. And you were saying the way it's linear. So for me, it was employee who jumped into running her own agency. We had, at one time we had 30, 35 employees. We were working people all over the world. We had a very successful blog. I was speaking and talking about conversion optimization. So I got well known for that. And then my partners started a startup. Basically, they developed this tool and they really wanted me to join them. So we sold the agency. I joined them in the startup, and about 6 months in, I was like, okay, I don't like this. I want to go back to conversion optimization, which was weird. But yeah, I was actually at the time, I was 6 months with baby, which my only baby, and I quit and I opened my own consultancy business for conversion optimization. I launched my first course online for conversion optimization. education. And that was a year ago. And now I run a conversion optimization consultancy business. I do workshops and I consult for businesses. I run A/B tests for them and I teach a course. So kind of back and forth with my career, kind of changing positions.
I also love it because, like, you know, I do have listeners who are just getting out of university, and there's this misconception that, you know, that you're going to do A and then you're going to do B and then you're going to do C. So this is just a perfect example of that. One of the things you talked about is you became known for emotional targeting, and that's how I actually was looking you up, and your blog on Conversion Excel actually popped up about emotional targeting. Maybe you could talk a little bit about what emotional targeting approach is.
So I mentioned that when I started with optimization, I didn't really know what I was doing. And what I was basically doing is I was following all these blog posts. So someone posted an article saying, hey, I did this one thing that increased conversions by 5,000%. And you're like, okay, I'll go do that. So you kind of change the color of the button, or you change, you know, you reduce the amount of fields in the form because someone said it really works. Or you change your headline or whatever. And that almost never gave me the results that I really wanted. I decided that, you know, after I wasn't getting the results that I really wanted to get for my clients, I decided to build my own conversion optimization process. And as part of it, I built emotional targeting methodology. And what it is basically is I understood that conversion optimization isn't about changing elements on the page. It's about solving people's problems.
Wow.
If I want to get more people to buy from me, if I want to get more people to convert, I need to understand why they're actually buying. Why are they on the page? What are the emotional drivers? Mm. Because everything we buy in life has an emotional reason to it. Part of my methodology, part of my process when I do conversion optimization now is identifying those emotional triggers, identifying those emotional drivers, why a person is really on the page, what is their better version of themselves that they want to see, B2B or B2C, it works for everyone. Trying to understand those hesitations and concerns and everything in order to really tap into those emotions and then create an experience that highlights those emotions and converts them.
Wow. No, that's so good. Yeah, that's exactly, you're really getting into the head of the customer and the buyer to really like what kind of emotions that they come into play. When it comes to emotions, I'm curious what emotions you play upon. I know I've heard somebody told me like you can either play on aspirational stuff or fear. If you don't do this, you lose out, or FOMO. In your data or experience, what has like worked in terms of like targeting specific emotions from, let's say, maybe for B2B SaaS first?
Well, you know, it's very hard to say what emotions work on what industry because in my work, I've actually identified over 223 different emotional triggers. So there are hundreds of emotional triggers that can affect different people in different ways. The one thing that I have seen is that, generally speaking, when you really dive into your customers and try and figure out what their pain is, it's easier to identify those emotions. And you were talking about the FOMO, for example. So one of my favorite A/B tests that I like to do is the before and after test. And that is highlighting the before, so what they're feeling right now, their pain, their struggle, what they're worried about, or what they're trying to solve. So what are they, versus actually showing the end result, the after effect. So what is going to happen in your life after you convert? And nice. It's a very cool A/B test to run, not necessarily on specific emotions, but on a specific mindset before and after.
Nice. And that could work for B2B, could work for e-commerce, can work for B2C. Like there's always a before and after side to any product. Would you agree to that? Or is there like specific stuff that it won't particularly work for that test?
It works for everyone. I always get the question about, you know, okay, people buy on emotion, but B2B isn't an emotional decision. Well, I have news for you guys. B2B is an incredibly emotional process.
Right.
Because you're not buying for yourself, you're buying for a company. And that comes with a lot of hesitations and concerns and different emotions.
I'm really curious, how did you figure out the 220 something emotions? Like that just with my how did you figure it out? You're just like, what are you feeling right now? Or like,
oh, it's a long process that we, so in the past, doing this emotional targeting research used to take us like 3 months to figure out, and we identified like the different types of emotions, and then each type of emotion, pillar of emotion, has like different dozens of different emotions that sprout from it, and we've tested over them, and that's actually part of the reason that there's just so many emotions, and it's so hard to just pinpoint one specific emotion, because we're usually feeling a couple of emotions at the same time, and there's just so many, and as the years go by, we keep identifying more and more, and a lot of it is to do with the research process that we do.
You gave me one great example. Can you, is there any other one that you love just testing out, like in terms of A/B testing?
What do you mean? Do you mean like as a tool or?
Oh, just as an example. So you talked about like a before and after snapshot. Do you have one that that you go to quite a bit in terms of like, let's run this specific experiment? Because, you know, I've seen this work time and time over again as working really well.
Well, I'm actually famous for saying best practices suck.
Yes. Okay. Cool.
So that's that's my thing.
Cool.
So there isn't one thing, but there is like the before and after is a very is a big strategy that I use because it works with it. When I say it works with everyone, I mean it generates really good insights. For example, if I test the before and after, and it's not just an so don't picture it as before overweight person, after a thin person. It's not that. It's the entire strategy. It's the copy that we're using. It's the bullets that we're using. It's the image. It's the call to action. Everything, the colors, the psychological colors that we're using kind of enhance the sense of pain and what we're feeling right now. So maybe you feel lonely. Maybe you're feeling frustrated. Maybe you're feeling upset or whatever it is. So that's what you highlight. It's with every tool that you have an element on the page, including social proof.
Let's talk about personas, because it seems like a big part of this is really getting to the mind of the customer. And just from experience, I think most marketers, I feel like, are doing it wrong. They're all just a bunch of guesses. It's all too shallow. And you wrote another amazing article. You know, I might be doing a little fanboying here a little bit. on how you build personas, and just completely blew my mind. For you, how do you build personas, and how does that help with your emotional targeting approach? And what particularly things are you looking for?
Well, I guess the bottom line is that I don't actually do personas, at least not the way that people talk about personas. My biggest issue with personas is that it's usually kind of really a behavioral. So it's about, hey, this is a person who is this age, 34, lives in this geographical location. They use this and these browsers and devices. And we make up some fake job that they have and 3.5 kids. And they like to watch Oprah, right? It's just kind of, there's not enough data, and it's not built on enough insight. A lot of these personas are kind of built on, hey, let's get a team together and kind of guess. And for me, I do a lot of groundwork when I try and figure out my target audience and who they are. Part of it is understanding the stage of awareness. Where are they in the customer journey? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is actually speaking to customers, doing surveys, chatting to them, interviewing them on the phone, interviewing the team. I do a lot of groundwork to cover and understand who the customer is, not on a behavioral element, that's easy to know, but on the emotional level. What are their fears? What are their hopes? What are their biggest concerns? What are the things that they are worried about? Or what are the things that would make them really, really happy? The thing is that even with a simple survey that you run on your website today, you can get some pretty amazing insights about people. Now, I like to use the one reader rule. Mm. So when I write something, or when I design anything, or when I think about optimizing, I'm constantly optimizing for one specific person in mind. And I do that with having all that knowledge that I've researched. So I understand people on a more deeper level, more than just saying, hey, you know, they work at this company or this is where they're located in the world. I try and get to know them on a more really deeper level and understanding them as people. And I think that is where the emotional targeting methodology lies, because people, we forget that there's people behind the screens. We treat them like we're just devices. And then we have like this makeup John Doe who's sitting there on the wall, but it has no audience really is. So I guess long and short of to your question is research.
Right. So good. I think you're right. I think it's completely true. I don't find enough of the marketers I've met talk to people, to the customers. I'm curious what kind of questions you ask. Like, for example, like, you know, there's a balance between like getting into their face and like, hey, what are you afraid of right now? Like, or like being a little too vague with your, oh, what are your aspirations? So I'm curious what kind of questions you particularly like asking to dive into that mindset.
Fantastic question. So here's the thing. We love to think of ourselves as rational people. So we are absolutely sure that we make rational decisions and that emotion doesn't impact us at all. So if I would ask you today, hey, why do you use Zoom? Like, what made you sign up for Zoom? A lot, you know, you'd probably say, well, they have the best features and the best technology, or, you know, all these great, amazing reasons to do with their features and their pricing. But in the emotional targeting methodology, we try to uncover the deeper layers of that. And in order to do that, I actually use a really cool technique, which is so simple, called the five whys. And essentially the way it works is if I say, hey, why did you sign up to a product? And you say, well, you had the best features. And I'd say, why would you need these features? And you could say whatever it is. And I'd say, oh, why? And then you'll find, and this, and I have many case studies on this, but you'll find that when you get to the fourth or the fifth why, suddenly you uncover that underlying emotion that people did not know about. Like, oh, well, I really wanted to stand out. And even though there's some three tools out there, this tool was going to help, you know, get my manager to appreciate me more. They don't even know they're saying it because they never stop to think about it or to register it. But if you know when to ask and what to ask, it gets easier.
Let's talk about Zoom. Like, if you were going to do this to me, I would say, hey, I like Zoom because you don't have to add me on Skype. And then you ask why is that important? And I would say, I don't have to, you know, I know it works and it works well. And when I'm doing a podcast call or a call, I know it's going to work. And
right. But why do you need to know that it's going to work?
Okay, that's a good question. I don't want to look bad. Like, I don't want to add you on Skype and like, I look like I'm not, you know, I'm not all over the place. So I just give you one link and it works. I don't have to, hey, what's your Skype? What's my Skype? It works. And then this way I don't look bad and disorganized to people.
Right. So there's two things here. There's social image, what are other people, and there's the fear of something not working. Right. So I want this to be the best, but not because I need the technology to be good. It's just, I don't want to waste my guest time, or I just really want this to go out really, really well. And I'm really worried that it won't, but it's not a technical thing. It's an emotional thing when you're doing something and it's your business and you just want it to really work well, because obviously you don't want to, you know, mess it up. So there's a few things playing in here. And then if I was creating a landing page for Zoom, which Zoom, if you're listening, you should hire me because you suck. My God, do you suck?
They do.
But that's what I would think about. That's what I would use. I would talk about those things that you care about, being able to rely on us, about knowing that this will make you look good and that we have your back.
Which I want to jump on that. It totally leads to my next question about trust, about building trust online. How would you do that for Zoom? Like, you know, you have the copy. There's also the design aspect. And like you said earlier about colors and bullet points, is there anything particular you would do particularly for Zoom to put it all together?
Well, the one thing that, we need to remember is that no element on the page works alone. So it's not enough to have a really good headline. It's not enough to have a really good image or, I don't know, really good bullet points. You need to work the whole strategy together. So when I optimize, you know, when I started this conversation, I told you that I used to kind of change the color of a button or I used to change the bullet points. I looked at the page as a set of elements that needed optimizing. But now I know that every element on the page works together. So it doesn't help to just change the color of the button. It has to have a strategy behind it. When you know what emotions you're trying to target, it's easier for you to choose the right copy, the right psychological triggers, the right psychological colors, the right images. And that's the thing with optimization, is that you get to test it. It's not just a redesign. I'm not just going live and saying, oh, this will work better and just go live with it. I'm testing everything. And I guess with everything that you do, and even with Zoom, one of the most important things is social proof. And I know that many people use social proof as like just a way to say how great they are, but social proof can be used to tackle specific roadblocks. So if you know that the biggest concern that people have with Zoom is that it is expensive or that it's not going to work, let's go for that. My biggest concern is that during a podcast, it will suddenly flake on me and stop working and I'll have to restart everything. Then I, as Zoom, would look for those testimonials from people talking about the technology and how well it works and how they've never encountered a problem. So everything works together and everything kind of addresses the same things. I'm trying to produce specific emotions and I'm trying to speak to my clients and to my customers in order to create better messaging and increase conversions.
Nice. No, that sounds like you're getting into like what a salesperson would do, right? Like they would try to find objections and they would use, create like responses to those objections, which is really fascinating.
Right. Now, your landing page is your salesperson.
Yeah, no, that's so true, right? Like that's what you have to start thinking about would be seeing your websites as a salesperson. I know you mentioned earlier you don't like best practices. I'm curious what kind of advice you would have for anybody like maybe a marketer or entrepreneur who's trying to like increase their conversion off their site right now. Like, is there any particular steps you would ask them to do right now? Like, just
yes, definitely. So I would do a couple of things. One, I would go into Google Analytics and really analyze what's happened behavior on the website. Where are the leaks in the funnel? What are people doing? Where are they failing? It's not them failing, it's you. But you know, where are they basically? Where are you losing them? That's on the behavioral side. I'd also add a heat map to see what people are doing on the page. But the most important thing I would do is talk to customers. And you can do it in two ways. One, you can put a survey on the website and just ask a few simple questions. Don't ask them what they've come to your website to do today, because that's not interesting. Ask them the important questions, the ones that really can help you. And you can either do that with a survey or you can do that on the phone. Obviously, on the phone is much, much better. But sometimes it's hard to get these people to commit to a phone call. So what I like to do is put a survey on the website, collect all the answers. And when I go see that some people have written more, there's an indication that they'd probably be more willing to speak. They'd probably be willing more to tell me their story because they took the time to fill in more information. And then I reach out to them personally and ask them to have a 10, 15 minute conversation just to understand them better. I know that when it comes to conversion optimization, everyone says, well, A-B test, and you know, immediately you start putting all sorts of tests, so change stuff, but your optimization is only going to be as good as your research. So before you do anything, I would do that.
Awesome. That's so good. So absolutely good. I'm hitting up the half hour I asked from you. I have two more questions. First is like, what kind of advice would you have for people who are trying to get into marketing? Maybe they're studying marketing right now. Maybe they're studying something else. Any career advice you would have for anybody who's trying to either switch to marketing or trying to get into marketing?
Yeah. Don't take shortcuts. get in there, work hard. be an intern or get a paid job, but just don't take no for an answer and go for it. Like, yeah. Try and learn everything. Take all the online courses, focus on everything that you can to just learn as much as possible. Listen to podcasts like these, and just kind of take matters into your own hands, because no one is going to do it for you.
I'd like to ask you this last question. I love asking because it's a marketing show. What is your call to action to my listeners right now? Like, where do you want them to go? Do you want them to check out? Like, you can do anything right now just to like to shout out anything you want. Like,
I have a page full of worksheets, templates, guides that I give out for free. Everything to do with online persuasion, psychology, cognitive biases, you name it. So you can go onto my website and download all of those cool things to help you optimize your website. And you will find that on getuplift.co.
Awesome. So you heard it here. If you want to learn more about conversion optimization, about Talia and all her stuff, her resources, go to getuplift.co. Thank you so much, Talia. You have a good night there over Israel. I hope you had fun. And to all my listeners, thank you so much again for listening.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for listening on that episode. I hope you learned as much as me when I just chatted with Talia. She's so incredibly smart. Like I said, if you want high-level outlines and show notes, and even tweetable quotes from Talia, go to growthmarketing.today/3035. And if you enjoy this, please go ahead and subscribe if you're not already subscribed. And also, I would love it if you gave me a feedback or even a positive recommendation on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get this. Anyways, I don't want to hold you back from your day. Thank you for listening once again. And you know what? As I always say, keep on growing.